you know, what matters to you and what do you really care about, and then what matters to your audience.
Welcome to Sales Bites. I'm Abby White. This episode, we have Owen Steer with us, who is Regional Account Manager from LinkedIn. In this conversation, we delve into how we can use LinkedIn to grow our sales. We also delve into high performance sales, how Owen sells himself, and some of the research that LinkedIn have uncovered around high performance sales. Owen also shares some really highly practical examples of what the LinkedIn team do themselves when they're out prospecting. Before we dive into today's conversation, I want to do a quick shout out that Owen is one of our incredible RevUp experts. If you've not come across RevUp before, RevUp is our membership where we bring together revenue generating teams to learn and collaborate. We bring the best of the best leading experts to our members. So Owen, of course, is covering LinkedIn social selling in his masterclasses. If you want to find out more, check out the link in the show notes.
First one, I love some of the latest research I've seen coming out of LinkedIn. And I personally feel we're in a bit of a state of change with sales, starting to be changes in buyers, changes in other aspects to sort of the landscape. And I think LinkedIn does such awesome research that I'm forever using in my day job. And I wanted to sort of really get your viewpoint on that in terms of what are you seeing, what are you hearing from your latest lens?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, for anyone that's genuinely interested in this, like yourself, we have our Future of Sales report that goes out quite frequently. So we work with quite a few other partners and customers as well to get a lot of market data. But I think just some of the key snapshots from there is that, you know, we're actually seeing some buyer types change and some role types change as well. So for instance, we're seeing around a 70 to 75% increase in chief revenue titles across the LinkedIn platform. So, you know, not only are you selling to, you know, heads of sales, heads of marketing, whatever business line that you're through, there's now another stakeholder involved, and they're strictly aligned to that revenue side. And I guess my personal experience is that we're seeing them tied towards sales, sales growth, sales operations, and the whole periphery that surrounds, you know, the deal.
And I think I read in one of the LinkedIn studies, and I hope I'm not making this up, that when someone has changed job within that first 90 days, they're more likely to accept a LinkedIn message and an outreach.
Yeah, far more likely. And, you know, it's kind of twofold on that way. So for that individual, you know, we've all got an ego, right? You know, when someone talks to me about something that's relevant to me, I'm way more engaged, way more excited to help out or to understand more about that conversation. And I think if you look at it from a strategic perspective, that person's been hired into a role to do a task. Right. And so if you can understand what is that task that they've been hired in to do, it really helps you shape your conversation with them and partnership with them moving forwards.
LinkedIn have just released, as part of Sales Navigator, Account IQ and Relationship Map, which I'm absolutely loving. And I think it speaks to what you were just saying there around utilizing those tools to be able to have more of a business conversation, understand their objectives, understand where they're going. Before actually I dive into that question any deeper, for anyone who's not across what Account IQ is, can you give us the high level summary?
Yeah, of course. So we'll start Account IQ. Effectively, any account planning or territory planning, you would have had to have done a strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats, job changes, job news to show, you know, that you know your account inside out. And instead of spending hours on doing that, imagine you can do that in about 10 seconds by clicking, you know, generate report on LinkedIn Sales Navigator. And what we're effectively doing is, you know, using the power of the Microsoft AI platform to provide to you a SWOT analysis on your key accounts. So you're getting information around, you know, market trends, their headcount trends, strengths that they have, weaknesses that they're having. So it's everything you need to know before you go to that meeting to sound like you know a lot more about the client than you actually do.
So I'm going to ask you the question I get asked that I get annoyed at. So I thought it'd be fun to ask you it.
I'm excited to hear it.
Do you think there's anything that's not working? I feel like in our industry, and I don't know whether you feel this, but I feel in our industry, we always get like, cold call's not working anymore, or so-and-so's not working anymore, or, you know, is there anything that you feel from your lens it's not working or you're trying to stay away from?
I think it's a hard question to answer because even just within my 32 clients I look after, they're all completely different industries, completely different personalities. They're facing different market conditions. Some are growing, some are reducing headcount. So I would say blanket, there's no thing that's not working. But the things that I've found personally that's not working for me is, I guess, just trying to make something happen where there's not. And, you know, that's really, that really shines through by people just strictly not taking back my responses. So, you know, even clients where a year ago, you know, we'd implemented, you know, strategic plans, lots of training, lots of engagement, some really strong usage on our platform, trying to artificially create something new, I don't think is working. It's not certainly not working for me. And I can't imagine it's working, you know, anywhere else. And that's because, you know, like what we talked about before is that, you know, it's so clear that, you know, the market's tight, budgets are tight, people are stressed. At the moment, a lot of people are wearing quite a few different hats. There's a lot of organizational changes as well. So, you know, I think that if someone's not ready to be talked to, it's not worth harming the relationship to artificially create something. So if I flip that on its head, what we talked about earlier in terms of what is working, it's been relevant. It's talking to people at the right time in a way that they want to be engaged with as well. It's probably as simple as that.
LinkedIn a couple months ago had like a Future of Sales Summit that we were both at. Yeah. And one of your team, and I really hope you know the example I'm about to talk about, that one of your team gave an example of the LinkedIn team all like doing reach outs and going like, who's connected to who and who can I intro you? Do you know where I'm going with this?
I do.
Share the story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, another plug to Alana Britton, who'd come up with the idea of sprints. So effectively the team would sit in a room, and I'm actually not directly in that team, but from how I understand those sessions to have run is that the team would sit in the room, and for an example, they would focus on one of the team's account list for that half hour, that hour. And within that session, the whole room would be focused on that person's specific account set. They would, on LinkedIn Navigator, download that account list, send it across to everyone in the team. Then the whole team would be able to use their shared connections, their warm paths in, or, you know, relevant conversations that they could start within this client base to generate meetings, which then, you know, obviously lead to revenue or just relationship building within these account sets. So, you know, rather than sitting around a room with Excel up on the table and does anyone know this person? Does anyone know this person? It was straight away, you know, right then sitting in the room, you had the account list of that person. You had all the relevant data on those leads and the people within those accounts. And from, you know, perspective of 8 or 10 different people looking at the same account set, the breadth that you can get in terms of different ways into those accounts is extraordinary. And what we've been doing within our specific team within global accounts is looking at what's the global hierarchy of this organization, what's the APAC hierarchy, and then what's my Australia, New Zealand hierarchy within here. And very quickly, I can see, well, I know 3 people in here quite well. I've been in email threads with a few of these people. But I'm starting to then list, you know, are they strong relationship, weak, no relationship, who's got the relationships? And quickly it helps me think, well, there's about 5 or 6 different people here I need to go and engage with. And I'm actually going through there quite strategically to build up and bolster our strength within these accounts. So it's a really, really good point you bring up. And I think that something that our platform's trying to adopt as well, and it has since with the relationship map update and release, that it helps you visualize where's your risk and how can you minimize that risk that's forthcoming. As a seller, the less time you spend selling, the better. And it's that point you brought up before, Abby, is, you know, people that are actually reaching out less are having better success. And the reason why that success is much higher is because they're more researched and they're more timely and more efficient. So, you know, just a recent example from my end is I've had a new account come into my book as of July, but there was no relevant way for me to go and engage with that client, and I wasn't in a rush. And having tracking 5 or 6 of the different executive committee on that relationship map, I'd been notified that the lead of people and culture across APAC had been mentioned in the news as one of the top 100 HR people in Australia to know. So, you know, saw that in the news, I was alerted on that map, started a conversation with this person on InMail, and we're meeting next week or the week after. So it's a really just natural way, having people in those account maps, to then focus your prospecting in those stakeholders that seem to matter to you and your pursuit.
I get a lot of questions around this of, do InMails actually work? Oh, I get them all the time and I don't read them. What makes a good InMail? What's your answer to that?
Yeah, it comes back to, I guess, the core pillars that we've talked about the whole time is it relevant? Do they care? And why are you sending it? We always have, and I like to try and teach people kind of 3 key things is, why am I messaging you? And what is the relationship behind that message? What is it that I want from this message? And then when? So every message I'll have is, you know, are you free on Thursday? Are you free next week on Tuesday? It starts to solicit a response from people, but my InMails that go out will be related to something that matters to that person. Where I haven't seen the success is if I've got 10 minutes left in the day and I don't want to miss the bus home, so I send 5 really quick messages out and it's, hey, I'm your account director and, you know, we should meet. I never get a response on that. But when I put a little bit more time and effort into that, I get a much better strike rate. I'm not saying I get anything around, you know, 70% response rate, but, you know, when I do put the time and effort in, it's a much stronger response. Do you find that from your end as well, Abby?
I feel it's the same theme, right? A rubbish cold call, a rubbish email, a rubbish LinkedIn message that is just generic, not personalized, all about, the biggest mistake I see is it's all about the company. So like, we've been in business for 25 years and we're awesome and this is what we do. And it's not about the prospect, what they might be facing, what some of their challenges might be. You know, it's not relevant to them. It's just like, it's a pitch. And so I think for me, I think LinkedIn's no different. You've got to have that personalized, that research, everything we keep talking about. Otherwise, it's not going to work. It doesn't matter what the platform is. It could be a fax, if anyone still has a fax. it just has to, it cannot be spam, is basically the punchline.
Yeah, completely agree. And I mean, even from my end, I get these messages on LinkedIn. I've had someone on LinkedIn message me and try to sell me like prospect list. I thought, mate, you could have done 2 minutes of research and would have known that I'm the complete antithesis of that idea. And I've actually got that first party data here anyway. So again, it's just, there's no way they're getting a response and there's no way that conversation is going anywhere from there. But that research element really, really goes a long way.
What I've noticed is there's a lot of people in my network who will very happily present to a CEO, super confident, super experienced. Ask them to do a LinkedIn post and it's like, oh. And I believe, and I don't know whether I'm right in this, this is just my lens, that there is a challenge with sales teams using LinkedIn for 2 reasons. One is I'm putting myself out there. I don't want to come across like an ass and that I'm full of myself. Or the second one is actually, I just don't have time, and also building and getting into the habit and getting onto the horse. So if I break those into 2 and start with the like putting yourself out there and feeling uncomfortable, how do you encourage people to get over that? How do you get over that? How do you do it?
Yeah. And I'm by no means the best person for this. I'm not a once a week poster. I'm maybe once a month, and you know, that's what I'm comfortable with. And I think that's what my network is comfortable with seeing from me. So I like to stick to that, to stick to that cadence. I guess the way that I got over is actually through your masterclass session, which I think was with Maz, where they talked about the personal brand. And the thing that I found really interesting, and I've started to adopt it in my posts, is you know, what matters to you, and what do you really care about? And then what matters to your audience? And where does that intersection lock? But I think that, you know, if you want to try and overcome that, it's quite simple to look at in terms of what do you actually care about and what can you speak genuinely about? And what is it that people would expect to hear from you about?
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed that snippet of the conversation with Owen, feel free to go back and check out the full episode. The link is in the show notes. And as I mentioned at the start, if you also want to check out Owen's Rev Up Masterclass, you can also go to the link in the show notes. Before you leave us, don't forget to subscribe. We'd love to make sure that you get every single Redefining Sales inbox straight through to your phone.